Welcome to Conversate, a podcast where we engage in conversation. Today, I, Pastor Kevin, and special guest Sierra Genty are having a conversation about comfort. Sierra is one of our employees at the Early Learning Center, taking care of the kids. She'll introduce herself, share a little bit about her story and some situations that bring discomfort, but how she has found ways to navigate that discomfort. As always, we hope that something in this podcast stands out to you, that you take it away and start a conversation of your own. And we hope you enjoy it. Well, good day to you.
Good day to you.
Oh, your voice sounds so different. Oh, it's because it's not Aaron. I should know that. I'm sitting in the room with you. If you're just listening today, we have a special guest with us, Sierra Genty. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Genty.
Genty. How do you spell that?
J-U-N-T-T-Y.
I think I've asked you this before, but is there a, I don't know what it's called, but the two little dots that go over the U? Do you have any of those fancy, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no. Oh, okay. I mean, I don't write it that way anyways. It is Finnish.
Okay.
So it technically should be Genty.
Oh.
So my husband's name is Jari, which starts with a J.
Gotcha.
So it should be Jari Genty.
Jari Genty.
But they still say Genty.
Genty.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. How are you Finnish, Sierra?
I think I'm like 25% Finnish or something like that.
Yeah, sweet.
But
does that grant you special privileges in this area?
I don't know.
They don't give a, there's not a secret discount that I don't know about.
I don't think so.
I'm like 0% Finnish, I think. I think my wife has got some Norwegian in her. I don't know if any of it's, I think she does have Finnish connections, I want to say. But not old Pastor Kevin. So they just give me the bumbling fool discount when I go to places, okay. Which is nice. They treat me with lots of care. So just more introduction on Sierra. Sierra, you may not know Sierra if you're a member here, because Sierra is not typically here on a Sunday, but she is here much of the rest of the week. Sierra works at our Early Learning Center. And what do you do for the Early Learning Center, Sierra?
I do a lot of the teaching. So I'm considered the lead teacher. So I lead the circle times and I plan all the crafts and I do the chapel time and things like that. And we have lots of fun.
So lots of interface with the kiddos.
Yep.
That's good. And how long have you been with the Early Learning Center?
So last August is when I started. I did do some volunteering work when I was in college because I was taking classes at Gogebic for early learning or early childhood. And I needed a certain amount of hours in a classroom. So I did some volunteering here. And then once I was done with school, Jamie was like, hey, will you, you know, like work for us? So I was like, sure.
Sweet.
I love it.
Yeah. So that was that kind of, that's like how you get your foot in the door kind of like through the volunteering.
Yeah.
Awesome. I didn't know that. So you've been here for like a year and some change, year and a few months.
Yeah.
Okay. Just getting the timeline in my head.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, it's good to have you on, Sierra. Sierra is doing something, I think, a bit courageous.
Yeah.
Talking to me is always... No,
I don't mind talking to you.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I just don't really like, you know, the camera.
Yeah.
Facing me.
Neither do I. Sometimes I press buttons when I feel uncomfortable.
Maybe I should press some of those.
No, don't. There's a really, you don't want to press one of those buttons. I won't tell you which one.
Okay.
No, so Sierra, I bump into her often, Monday through Thursday when she's working the ELC. We bumped into each other in the kitchen this morning. I mean, very briefly. It was before I had coffee. So
yeah, it was dark and I was like, oh, who's that?
Yeah, I grunted hello or something. But this week's theme in worship was a passage from Isaiah 40, where God is saying to the people of Israel, you know, comfort, comfort, ye my people, which is a hymn we sang as well. And so Sierra has decided to do something uncomfortable and to be on camera and be recorded and talk to me about comfort. So thank you for being on the show, Sierra.
Of course.
And just in case you didn't know. So sometimes at the end of this podcast, we'll say, hey, you know, we hope you go and do what we've just done, which is had a spiritual conversation, right, with someone in our day. And you may not know, but maybe it's obvious, we don't really plan these conversations. We just have them. So I was just in my brain thinking like, huh, what should I ask Sierra? And here's what I'm going to ask her is, what's the most uncomfortable thing you've ever done?
The most uncomfortable thing I've ever done. I don't know about like the most uncomfortable thing I've done. Some uncomfortable things that I personally really find uncomfortable was like presentations in front of like my class in college, or playing piano at recitals. Like my hands would literally like shake and I'd like mess up, and it was really embarrassing.
Yeah. I didn't realize you play piano.
Yeah, I do.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, presentations, being in front of people. I'm with you, man. That was like the worst part of school.
Yeah. But you're like a pastor now.
Oh, I know. It's ironic because the same thing would happen to me. I remember doing speeches in college, and seems like my knees are like shaking or like sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I think public speaking, I believe, is like when people get surveyed, like what's the biggest thing they're afraid of? That one ranks higher than death.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild. Yeah. Okay. So what do you do when you're in those times of like discomfort? Like what helps you become comfortable, would you say?
I'd say the first thing would just be like prayer. A big deep breath and say, Lord, please be with me. Calm my mind, calm my brain, calm my hands if I'm playing piano.
Sure.
Yeah, just thinking about like the Lord's presence with me.
Do you ever have uncomfortable times when you're with the children of the ELC? I feel like that could be uncomfortable at times.
I mean, yeah, it's different when they're kids, though.
Yeah, maybe we're different people, but I love kids too. But sometimes it's like, man, they're a handful.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a couple kids of my own. You have a child as well?
I do not.
You don't have a child? Nope. Oh, man, I just fabricated out of nothing. All right. Well, you got lots of kids here. You hang out with them. So you enjoy being with the kids, enjoy hanging out with them. But yeah, get in front of people, piano recitals, speeches in college. That'll make a person uncomfortable. Okay, now here's a totally different question. What for you is like the most comfortable like setting? Like when you think of, man, if I want to be comfortable, here's where I'll be. Here's what I'll do.
My couch. My bed.
Okay.
At home.
Soft places in your home.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. That is, I wrote an email this morning talking about I feel like I'm a creature of comfort. Like I like comfortable things. And there is a particular seat in our house. It's like one of those rocking lazy boy kind of ones. And that's like my go-to spot. Like I'm very comfortable in that space. Now my children will make it less comfortable for me by climbing up on me and sometimes climbing onto my head or sometimes sitting on my lap, you know, to read a book. That's not so uncomfortable. But then they'll start fighting with each other. So then it gets uncomfortable because I just become like the arena where they wage war with one another.
The jungle gym.
Yeah, exactly. Why are those spots comfortable for you?
Well, there are just like things about it, about the environment that are calm. It's kind of the place that I'm just comfortable because that's where I spend time with my husband, and that's often the place where I'm, you know, doing my quiet time, my time in the Word, my devotion. And it's just quiet and peaceful.
Yeah, you know, I have heard the saying, there's no place like home.
Yep.
Yeah, there is something really special about home where it's sort of like a, I don't know. It's where we inhabit a lot of our time.
Yeah.
We're around people who know us and who we know. Mm-hmm. And there's some comfort in that. Like for me, I know like I can get uncomfortable, believe it or not. Well, actually, I don't know. I was about to say I get uncomfortable when I'm around people I don't know, which is kind of true. The people who are around me will say, that's not true at all. You talk to like everybody. But I'm more capable of doing that when I'm around people who I already know. So like if I'm traveling with someone, my mind just went to, I went on a trip with Marcus.
Okay.
The director of Youth and Campus Ministry here, to a conference out west earlier this fall. And when I get into traveling situations, I like to meet, like feel on the plane. Like I like to talk to people.
Okay.
And you know, I was sitting in my seat and Marcus was watching a movie or something. And the person left of me who we didn't know had already, you know, put in earbuds, probably because I was talking their ear off before takeoff. but no, so like, I was like, man, well, I want to talk to somebody, you know? So I got up and I went to the back and I ended up meeting, like some of the stewarding people, you know, like the flight attendants.
Okay.
And that was really fun. But like, if I was just by myself on that trip, I don't know that I would have had as much confidence to do that. Mm-hmm. But because Marcus is with me, like if I have sort of that built in, like mm-hmm. comfort, built in, I guess like, yeah, safety net with people, mm-hmm. it makes it easier for me. And I think that's part of like, so you, because you have a number of siblings,
yes.
right? I mean, I know one of them.
You know one of, oh, you know Savea.
Yeah, so Savea, name drop here. What up, Savea? Shout out from your sister. You're older than Savea.
I am.
Yeah, okay. Savea also works here at the ELC, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Yep.
Sister power. But how, do you have other siblings beyond Savea?
Yes, there are 9 of us.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So is that also, do you find that to be true? Like when you're with family members, do you feel like part of your home goes with you almost?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, which is, I think, maybe a little bit of a picture of how we feel more comfortable when we are aware of God's presence.
Ooh, tell me more.
So even just evangelism, I'm very bad at going up to someone and being like, "Hey, like, do you go to church?" Or like, you know, start up a conversation about God to get to the gospel. And it's like, mm-hmm. but if I'm really meditating on, you know, the God of the universe is with me and he's given me this message to give to the world, like the best message ever.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it just makes it so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Man, you're stealing my thunder, Sarah. No, I'm just kidding. That's great. Because that's, I mean, Isaiah 40. So I have the scripture right here. I don't know if this one might ring a bell. Maybe not. There's tons of Bible verses out there, you know. But Isaiah 40, 1-2, this is what we read in church Sunday. It says, "Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." And we made note that on Sunday, that double, like it kind of sounds like that Israel's getting paid back double for her sins, mm-hmm. but the double is actually like a positive. So like instead of being paid, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, you didn't listen to me, Israel, so now I'm going to womp you like twice as hard as you thought you could womp me. The double is actually like, no, it's a double blessing. So like that comfort, comfort idea. So even though Israel transgressed God, right? Historical context, Israel transgressed God, was sent off into exile to Babylon, right? But this word from Isaiah is sort of this promise. It's not going to be that way forever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to bring you back. Your warfare will be ended. And so there's that presence of God. Like, when Israel was in Babylon, they were geographically far from where they had worshiped God, right? In the temple in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But also, like, situationally, probably felt far from God, mm-hmm. right? Like, and there's truth to it. I mean, it was punishment for, like, their leaving of God, their abandoning of him. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is knowing that you have God's proximity, his presence with you sort of gives you like a built-in comfort. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what Israel would then receive too. Like when they're brought back into the land, it's sort of like God saying, "Hey, no, I am with you. Mm-hmm. I am your God.
Yeah.
I never stopped being like your God." And then we of course know that most fully in Jesus, right? Like Jesus, his presence with us is bigger and beyond the temple because it's not right. fixed geographically. Right. You know, we don't have the Mecca to Jerusalem. Yeah, so you know the comfort of God. I was kind of curious to ask, like you mentioned it in an evangelism context, mm-hmm. Because like sharing faith is weird in my experience. But maybe I just...
It's awkward.
Yeah, it is. I find that I have to sort of build like some relationship, you know, like some conversational capital with people.
Okay, yeah.
I guess not always though. Like that story I was sharing earlier about the flight attendants, like we ended up talking about faith.
Okay, yeah.
Man, it's like, I didn't know these people at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of depends on the situation. If you know you're not going to see them again, or like most likely not going to see them again, it's like, well, I should probably get to it.
Yeah.
You know, in this conversation, whereas it's someone you work with or something, it's like, there's you can build up to it.
It's a slow burn. Yeah. I'm not going to hit them right on day one with like, yo, what do you believe about that?
Right. I mean, you could.
You could.
Because sometimes I find myself putting it off just because I'm like, oh, I could do it tomorrow.
Sure. Yeah.
So sometimes I just have to do it right off the bat. Otherwise, I put it off too long.
It's a very interesting conversation starter. Anyways. there's a context. I'm with you. Like, I am going to feel very uncomfortable doing that unless I kind of, I don't know, it's like self-talk, or it's like reminding yourself of the promises of God, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
He's with me.
Yep.
What are other situations, or is there a time in your life when you felt like you were comforted by God, or where God's comfort was more maybe pronounced for you? I mean, like, at least my sense of my life is like, you know, I don't feel like I'm having huge Saul eye-opening moments on the day-to-day, mm-hmm, right? But maybe there's like a season of life or a situation that happens where it's like, whoa, that was like a little more on the nose then. I don't know. Like, what do you have, like, situations in your life you could think of, or like, it could even just be not like a specific one, but generally a time or a place where you sense that comfort more often.
I guess maybe like in general, like at the, like, when you start feeling the Lord working in your heart in battling sin, or in like me myself, I can battle like anxiety and stuff like that, and in those times I'm often like in like anxious in such a way that you almost feel like you're groping for the Lord's presence, and you're just like, Lord, please comfort me. And then once he has, because I feel like he uses those things just to grow you closer to him. And you know, just at the end of it, you're like, wow, Lord, like, thank you for drawing me so near to you. And I feel like at the end of those like harder times where you're battling, I think that's when I've felt it more deeply. And then you can almost like thank him for those battles. Like, thank you, Lord, for giving me that battle, because now I just feel so much nearer to you. You know?
Mm-hmm. Man, that's incredible. Like, I've heard it said, sometimes people say, you know, God will never give you anything you can't handle. Mm-hmm. I disagree with that personally, based on personal experience. What I think is, and maybe this is what people are trying to say when they say that, is God will never give you anything he can't handle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you're saying. Like, and there is something to those really, those harder challenges of your life that you like, it's like, I can't face this, mm-hmm, on my own. Mm-hmm. Or even as I'm facing it, I sort of feel myself kind of crumbling underneath, mm-hmm, it.
Yeah.
And I love that simple prayer, just like, I need your presence, God, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah.
And we have that accessibility to him, mm-hmm, that he will listen and say, oh yeah, like, you can talk to me, yeah, come to me. Like,
right. I feel like he gives you those trials in order to have you ask him for more of his presence. He's like, mm-hmm, turn to me. I want you to turn to me. It's like, where else would I go? I need to turn to the Lord.
Yes. Yeah. If life was comfortable all the time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need to turn to,
right,
him, or at least it wouldn't be my first move.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough pill to swallow though. Like, mm-hmm, it's interesting, Sierra. I didn't know. I mean, sort of like you've alluded a little bit to like anxiety and like social, you know, like social settings or social, mm-hmm, engagement. And, that's something that, it resonates with me, because I went through like a season, more recently, like when I was younger. I don't know. I never thought like anxiety was a thing for me. I don't know. I was just kind of goofy, carefree dude.
Yeah.
You know? And I think I still probably exude that somewhat. But I went through a very particular trying season where anxiety, I mean, like, is what I would call, I mean, it's been diagnosed for me, mm-hmm, even. And man, that was so hard. And the hardest thing about it was like in the moment, you know, I felt like I was doing that, like calling out, mm-hmm, asking for God's presence, wanting him to get me through. And like, I didn't get it, let's say, instant gratification, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's kind of hard, you know? I guess it's people talk about waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
I guess they meant it literally. But you're right. Like when you do, as you do, when God brings you through that, it does sort of bolster your faith, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know what's challenging right now in Sierra's life. Is there something going on? Okay, well, I need to ask more basic life questions. So you finished school.
Yes.
What, did you get a degree in something?
Early childhood education.
Sweet. Well, you're in a good field for your education. And then you got married when?
Last July.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've been married for like a little over a year. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's the next big thing? That's a lot of big things in Sierra. Maybe you're looking to like just slow down.
But. Yeah. My husband Yari is in nursing school.
Okay.
So he was at Finlandia. Finlandia is closed and now he's at Tech. So he's finishing up his last year at Tech.
How did that transition go for him? Like hearing the news about Finlandia closing was probably an uncomfortable thing.
Yeah. It was pretty a little bit stressful, but at the same time, both of us felt kind of a piece about it. Like his classmates, you know, came over and, you know, we prayed about it and you're like, the Lord has a plan. Like, obviously this happened and he knew it wasn't going to happen. I mean, he knew it was going to happen. We didn't.
Yeah.
Nothing surprises God. So we prayed about it and we trusted him. And the transition was honestly a lot easier than we thought it would be. So we praise the Lord for that.
Yeah. Well, especially with Michigan Tech taking, I mean, to me, that was like a big question mark over that time was, well, that'd be awesome. Cause then it's like, you don't necessarily have to move or at least there's an option close by.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So then he transferred to Tech and is working to finish that program.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next bigger thing would be him graduating.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then career wise, is there like opportunities for him here in this area or is
there are opportunities. Yeah. There would be, at both hospitals.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Is he, I'm just going to ask a ton of personal questions now, Sierra. I'm on a roll. Is your husband from the area?
Yes. Well, so he, his dad is, his mom grew up in Tennessee. And so he lived here for most of his life. So they did move back to Tennessee for a few years.
Okay. Gotcha. And then are you from here?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. How did you and your husband meet?
We met at church when we were 7.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that's pretty sweet. I like that story. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but my father's a pastor.
Okay.
And so I kind of grew up like in the church, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like literally lived 30 feet from it in the parsonage. And there were some girls in my youth group and in my education classes, and I had feelings for some, but it never worked out for me.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll save those stories for another time though. Cool. So yeah, wait. So you've graduated, you're here, your husband's on his way to graduating in nursing, and there's prospects in the area. So there's a lot of big life stuff, but it's cool to hear you articulate in the midst of those challenges, whether it was piano recitals, which by the way, do you still do piano recitals?
No.
Oh, darn. So I can catch the next one. you know, whether it's piano recitals or public speaking or evangelism or for like your husband, I mean, navigating an educational like decision, there's things in life that are gonna bring us discomfort, but we have a resource, right?
Right.
With Jesus, with God, we have a resource in the gift of prayer to go. And that was so neat that it was not even just you and your husband, but even like you have community, like some of those other students who came in, shared in prayer. And it sounds like that was something that helped you sort of weather that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get through the question marks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Well, it's good, Sierra. Hey, is there, before we wrap up, any other, so you're a person who sometimes there's uncomfortable things that happen. And at least in my one experience of it today on this podcast, Sierra, you look at those and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it because the Lord is with me.
Yes.
Do you have any other parting words, advice, thoughts for someone who's out there? Say they got something that's like it's bringing on those anxious feelings. It's like, either it's like something I know, like I should be doing, I'm like, I don't want to, or like, or maybe it's like an opportunity. Like someone suggested this thing and it's like, oh, I'm thinking through it and like, well, I'm kind of excited about it, but like, ah, there's question marks. I don't know. Any other parting advice for folks, or a parting word? Doesn't have to be advice.
Well, I don't know. My first thought is always prayer. I think before making any decisions or before doing anything, we really should be praying before doing anything. And then also, just being in the Word. Before I do something that might make me anxious, maybe I'll think about a verse that has been helpful to me in the past. One in particular is from Isaiah. It's, "Fear not, for I'm with you." Isaiah 41, which is the next chapter after that one.
Very nice.
So yeah, just thinking upon the promises of God and praying to Him and looking to Him for wisdom.
Well, I love it, Sierra. In fact, the crowd even loved that one. Look at that. They're applauding. Uproarious applause. No, I couldn't. Wow, and then they just stopped. I couldn't have said it better myself. So we'll end it on that. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing a bit of yourself, a bit of your story, and wisdom from someone who, in my view, I'll just share. Like when I see you, Sierra, you always seem so calm and cool and collected. And I have been around those children that you watch, which if any of you watching have children there, they're awesome. Love those kids. But they're kids, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like herding cats sometimes.
Right.
So I think there's something to the tools that you're using, you know, the resources that you are using. And that, of course, to you all listening are available to you as well. So, yeah, never hesitate to go to the Lord, rely upon Him, think on His promises, and as always, we hope that there was something in this conversation that maybe struck a chord with you, maybe a particular situation you're thinking on or in the midst of. And maybe, you know, I don't know, it seems simple. It almost seems too simple just to pray. But I know in my life, I sometimes overlook it and it's like, oh, wow, I've done A, B, C, and D, but I haven't even prayed over this thing yet.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, take up Sierra on her advice. It's good advice. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers. We'll see you around.